Our scripture reading is found in the book of Matthew, from the first chapter, reading verses 18 through 25. For those of you who would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it is located on page 955. The reading. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, which was, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. At this time, let us sing a carol. Please stand if you are able. The carol is "Good Christian Men Rejoice." It is found on page 151 of your red hymnal if you wish to follow along there.
A mental note that next December we will have an ugly Christmas sweater Sunday morning, and you can all join me, and I'll promise to get a new one if that gets approved. I came across a story from a book written by a man named Dave Simmons. The book was written in 1991. Never saw the book, but I came across the illustration. The book was titled "Dad, the Family Coach," and as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I was intrigued when I saw that the foreword for the book was written by the Dallas Cowboys' legendary coach, Tom Landry. So I have to find that book sometime and at least read the foreword. But here are the essentials of Dave's story about a real-life situation with his own children. A father took his children to do a little shopping. He took Helen, who was 8 years old, and Brandon, who was 5 years old, to the mall located in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. As they drove up to the mall, they saw a semi-trailer with a large banner on the side, Petting Zoo. And before he could even stop the car, the two kids were jumping up and down, "Daddy, Daddy, please, can we go, can we go?" And as they got out of the car, remember this is sometime before 1991, he flipped them a quarter so they could go to the petting zoo, because the petting zoo was there for the children so parents could go into the mall and do their shopping. Can you imagine that separation happening in today's world? But that's the way it was. And so they went to the zoo, and he went in and started making his way to the mall. And a little while later, he noticed his daughter was following behind him. And he knelt down in front of that little 8-year-old girl and said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Daddy, the zoo costs 50 cents. So I gave my quarter to Brandon." Well, Dad went on and finished his shopping, planning to take Helen back to the zoo once he got done. And they stood there alongside the fence, and Helen had her hands on the top of the fence and her elbow resting, and she just watched Brandon have a wondrous time with those little animals. The petting zoo was a large enclosed portable fence, about 6 inches of sawdust on the parking lot, with 100 different little furry baby creatures. And Helen had a tremendous affinity for young animals. Helen knew what the family's motto was. The family's motto was, "Love is action." Love is action. So she gave her quarter to her brother. She had been learning about love is action through her parents. And now it was her time to make this a lesson in her own life. And the motto, the family motto, had become a part of her. As they were there at the petting zoo, Dad had his hand in his pocket because he had 50 cents burning a hole in his pocket. But he didn't offer, and Helen didn't ask, because she only had part of the motto right there. The true family motto had one more word: love is sacrificial action. Love is sacrificial action. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue in another person's account. Love is for the other person, not for ourselves. Love gives. Love doesn't grab. Love gives. Helen had given her quarter to Brandon and wanted to follow through with their lesson. And her father wrote, "Helen knew she had to taste the sacrifice. She wanted to experience the total family motto. Love is sacrificial action." I was blessed to read that story, the sacrificial love that young girl showed to her brother, and what a tremendous action of love, as love truly is, sacrificial action. And I hope that story can inspire you. On this Sunday in which we lit the candle of love and the Advent wreath, there are a couple of examples from our reading of Matthew 1, a couple of examples of sacrificial love. And that's obviously Mary and Joseph. We're going to consider the aspect of Joseph's sacrificial love this morning, and Mary is part of the theme for Christmas Eve and the Christmas Eve message. To start with, we need to understand what it meant back in their day about how a couple became married. And in the passage, we're kind of going to uncover that a little bit. You know, that aspect of pledged to be married. That's part of verse 18. Pledged to be married. We have to remember or learn that there were three stages to the process of becoming married for a young Jewish couple in their day. First, there was the time of engagement, most often prearranged by both sets of parents when the two were young, and then they were engaged and they waited until the proper time or the age to be married. And then when the couple did reach that age, there was a period of betrothal. And betrothal was a very formal engagement. It was begun with a formal ceremony. And that ceremony happened. And after that ceremony, though they were only engaged and betrothed, they were known as husband and wife. Though they stayed in their separate family homes and did not live together in the time of betrothal. And then after the betrothal became the marriage when they went home and lived together. That was after a year of being betrothed, the marriage could happen. So in the account of Joseph and Mary in Matthew 1, Joseph was considered to be Mary's husband by betrothal. And in their formal time of betrothal, Joseph suddenly learned that his wife was pregnant with child, knowing he was not the father. What a difficult experience that had to have been for Mary and Joseph. Their honor, their integrity, the plans that they had for marriage, they were all suddenly being questioned. Imagine what their families might have been saying. Imagine what each other's families might be saying about the other. And even think about what the neighbors might be saying. In the wonder and the awe of the nativity story and how it all turned out, we might overlook the thoughts and the emotions running through Joseph's mind as he considered the news of Mary being found to be with child, and then considered his response to the news, weighing his options, including divorcing his betrothed wife. Well, instead of speculating about what his mind was contending with in this unexpected, unbelievable situation of Mary being found to be with child, consider the flow of the passage itself from Scripture. For Joseph's considerations, they were abruptly stopped. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream when he was sleeping. An angel appeared. One Bible commentary described the possible state of Joseph's mind as he fell asleep. He fell asleep thinking about everything, his mind in turmoil, troubled about the mysterious pregnancy, unsettled about a possible divorce. And then we learn from the passage that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel commanded him to do. In this account, we learn two characteristic traits of Joseph. He was both righteous and he was obedient to the Lord. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph's righteousness led him to have compassion upon his wife. Joseph didn't think about himself. He considered Mary and the adversity that she found she was facing, being pregnant and facing the loss of her betrothed husband. Joseph's love for Mary was part of his righteous character. He wasn't seeking revenge. He wasn't working to hurt Mary or to get even with her. Joseph had a righteous character, and he was obedient. Obedient to what the angel of the Lord told him. The angel called him Joseph, son of David. That goes back to last Sunday's sermon, if you were able to hear that lesson about the genealogy of Jesus. The lineage of Jesus came through Joseph, who was of the royal lineage of King David. Remember that lineage. That's why Joseph and Mary had to travel to the city of Bethlehem for the census. Bethlehem, the town of David. And then the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Joseph, he is told he need not question Mary's righteousness. He can honor their marriage. And next, the angel tells Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Did you notice the emotion in Roger's voice as he said, Jesus? Jesus. The Jewish people had waited centuries for the Messiah to be born, and the name Jesus meaning to save. Joseph realized who his son was going to be. The emotion that had to have been there. The name Jesus, derived from the Old Testament names of Joshua and Hosea, both mean salvation. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation, or God is my salvation. Hosea means salvation, or to save. If you know the story of Hosea, it's in the first chapter of that prophet's book. The Lord directed Hosea about finding a wife. The Lord said, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. Wow. That was a troubling and difficult directive from God. And Hosea was obedient. He married Gomer because it was a key message to Israel about Israel's unfaithfulness to the Lord and the promised salvation that would eventually come. After marrying Gomer, there came a time when the Lord directed Hosea to reconcile with his unfaithful wife. And in doing so, Hosea offered unconditional love to Gomer. Hosea focused on saving his relationship with his wife as directed by the Lord, as a foretaste of the salvation that would come through the Messiah. Back to Joseph. Learning from the angel that what was conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. In hearing he was to give his son the name of Jesus. Joseph must have then been greatly impacted as the angel message included the prophetic word from Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That was the long-awaited sign. The Jews had been waiting and waiting and waiting, and they knew that the sign would come through that prophetic word. And Joseph suddenly realizes Mary is going to be the mother of that child, and he is going to be the earthly father of Jesus. As a righteous man, devout before the Lord, Joseph knew the meaning of the name Jesus. The child Mary was carrying would save the Lord's people from their sins. And then Joseph woke up, and he did what the angel of the Lord commanded, taking Mary home as his wife. As Hosea the prophet had been obedient to the Lord's call upon his life, so Joseph was obedient to the Lord's call upon his life, unconditionally loving his wife, Mary. Joseph, as an example of salvation, embodied two personal characteristics which set the stage for the birth of Jesus: righteousness and obedience. Joseph knew the truth of the scriptures. He embraced their truth, gaining faith in the unbelievable, and became an example of salvation, a salvation that would come through Jesus, the salvation of the world. Praise be to God. Amen.
At this time, we'll have our prayer of dedication. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently come before you. Thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us. Thank you for salvation through your Son, Jesus. Please bless our offering of your blessings to us. Please help our offerings to be used to further the work of your kingdom. Please guide us with your Holy Spirit to do your will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. At this time, I invite the ushers forward for the offering.
At the December 8th special congregational meeting, the congregation approved the new budget based on the actual bid from the general contractor. So this morning we continue with our second offering. So I invite the ushers to come forward. We continue with giving to our capital campaign, the Imagine Your Faith Building campaign that we began in April of 2014. And believe it or not, the building project is about to start. Since December 8th, we have signed a contract with Mel Lanzer, the general contractor for the project. And as of Thursday late afternoon, we got an email from Mel Lanzer that they hope to start the week of December 30th. Yes, that is a week from tomorrow. They're going to begin in what is currently the nursery, the custodian room, and the preschool room. So they will be starting on the new restrooms and the elevator shaft. And that means by December 30th, we have to have those three areas empty. So if you would like to join me on Friday afternoon, maybe around 1 o'clock, we could begin emptying that out, or Saturday morning at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whenever you could be here. I'll be here before 8. We will empty out. We have to do a little bit of sorting. We have to figure out where we're either going to store it, or we're working on moving the nursery and the preschool upstairs until the project is over. So if you have any time Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, that would be of tremendous help. Some work is happening during the week to get some things ready, but we'll see how it all works out because we do not want to have a cause for a delay of the finally beginning project. So thank you for your faithfulness.
At this time, please stand if you are able and let us sing our closing carol. Our closing carol is Go Tell It on the Mountain, and that's found on page number 138 in your red hymnal. If you wish to follow along there, the way we are going to do this is we are going to be singing the refrain And then we will be singing verse 3. That's verse 3. And then we will sing the refrain again. After that, we will have our spoken benediction. And then we will sing our benediction and song. It is called The Birthday of a King. And it is verse 1. Verse 1 of page number 162 in your red hymnal. So let us sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ bless you this day. The sacrificial love of the Lord your Savior. Go in his love and go in his peace. Amen.